We have chosen for a topic this afternoon, God will take care of you. And I think we probably have all thought about this and we'll say it, you know, God takes care of folks. One of my favorite sayings is that God takes care of dumb animals, which I am one, and he has to. But here's where I got the thought. Is reading in over in Exodus, the third chapter, starting in verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. You know, when I read this, I says, you know, that's what we need to be like Moses. And I would have been like Moses, or probably even worse, if he'd have told me to go lead these children out of Egypt. I said, I can't do it. I'm not able. But God said, I'll be with you. He gave him a token. And you remember how he gave him a stick, and he threw the stick down, it became a serpent. He picked that stick up and it became a stick again. You remember all the plagues that came over Egypt. And you know, I always thought it looks like the Pharaoh would have changed his mind when the water became blood. It looks like the Pharaoh would have changed his mind when there's just locusts everywhere. It looks like Pharaoh would have changed his mind when there was flies everywhere. But when the firstborn died all through Egypt, he changed his mind. You know, that would affect me if I lost my firstborn. That would affect you. It got his attention. But here's what I wanted to think about as Moses led these children of Israel away. Here's some things that I hadn't really thought about. One, they were in the desert. In one scripture there, it says there were 6,000 men on foot. Does that mean there was some in a wagon? Does that mean some was on oxen? I don't know. Then I got thinking. I said, well, maybe each one of these men had a wife. Maybe each one had a child. And I go to adding that up. I said, that's 1.8 million people. You know, that's a lot of people. We was in Branson not long ago. There was a family that had 10 boys. They might have been a bunch of people here. They might have had a lot of children. Then they had livestock because they had kind of helped themselves from the Egyptians when they left. This was a herd. It was a lot of folks. I had to ask Matthew on this. An army quartermaster estimated this. I didn't come up with it. All these people are going to have food. They were in the desert. There wasn't an Allsup's around the corner. He estimated they needed 1,500 tons of food. Or if you put it on a train, it would be 2 miles of freight train. And I don't know how they got this. But anyway, this is not written in blood. It's just for our consideration. They would need wood. They didn't have a microwave to cook their food in like we do. They'd need some wood. So they're going to have some more freight trains for wood. They'd have to have water. 11 million gallons of water. Or another 1,800 miles of freight train tankers. I went to Matthew again. Because he was in Iraq and it was a desert. And I asked him, how much water would you drink? He said, well, you want to drink a gallon by noon. And then it depends on what else you're doing the rest of the day. You need to drink a lot. So, you know, 11 million gallons might be okay. And I presume that they didn't have paper plates. I presume they might wash their dishes. I presume they might water their livestock. This is every day. And that, I mean, that's just to me is astonishing. We was in Amarillo not long ago, and the city limit for Amarillo said it was 109,000 people. But we're looking at 2 or 3 million people. The other thing I thought about, they crossed the Red Sea. And, I read that, they crossed the Red Sea on dry land. God parted the waters, and, you know, it zipped right through there. Well, this quartermaster says if they went two by two, they would be 800 miles long and take 35 days to go through the Red Sea. Well, if you go 500 abreast, it's 3 miles wide. It's going to take a day. Well, they went all at night. So did they go 10,000 abreast to go through the Red Sea? I don't know. I've always wondered about the mud. I've walked through some ponds and, you know, my feet stick in the mud. How did they go through a sea on dry land? And y'all know the answer to that. God could have had them ride an eagle across it. Just whatever he says, that worked. The other thing this quartermaster said was when they stopped at night to camp, it was going to take about 2/3 the size of Rhode Island for their campground. You know, they didn't have a Winnebago, and they didn't have whatever. So, you know, it was a major effort for this all to happen. So, let's think about this. This went on for 40 years. Do you think Moses worried about it? Do you think he worried about how he was going to accomplish this? He might have. He probably did. How was he going to take care of so many people? But as you know, God done this for him. He took care of it. God did it. Moses had no way to part the water. He had no way to feed that many. God did it for him. So as we think about it, my thought is that we should lean on God too. He can handle it. What about Jonah? While we was in Branson, we saw a show about Jonah. But the idea that we need to think of today about Jonah is God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and cry against the evil things that was going on there. Jonah thought, I don't want to do this. They'll probably kill me. I can't do it. So he go gets in a boat at Joppa, and he's going the wrong direction. Here comes a storm, and he tells the people on the boat, you know, I'm the reason. They throw him overboard. God prepares a great fish, swallows Jonah. For 3 days and nights, he's in the belly of this great fish. And he's praying. The great fish pukes him up on dry land. What does Jonah do? He does what he's told to do. He goes to Nineveh and he does exactly what God told him to do. You know, after studying this, I'm a little bit afraid to go near water. If God prepared a great fish, he may come after me when I don't do what God said. Another thought, we studied about Peter not too long ago, and we won't read all of this. I'll let you read it as we go through it. Peter saw Jesus walking on the water. Peter asked Jesus, let me walk on the water to you. And he did for a ways. And then when he saw the waves was boisterous, he started to sink. And then he cried out, was Jesus saved? To Jesus, save me. And I've often thought, you know, he didn't have enough faith. And that's what Jesus told him. But I was on a large ship one time, and you could not see land. Just far as you looked, there wasn't no land. I wasn't about to get out of that ship. Didn't want out, you'd have to throw me out. So Peter probably had more faith than I did to get out and walk on the water. What we need to think about is when we have trouble and we're starting to sink, call out, Jesus, help me. Jesus, save me. Now let's look at some other ideas. We all have needs, and we'll go through these a little faster maybe. It's easy for me to look at this and say, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. I'm full. I'm not hungry. It's easy to do that. But I'm kind of particular with my food. Tuna is not food to me. I'm not interested in that. I mean, maybe if I was hungry enough, tuna would be great. You know, I think we're spoiled here in the United States. What about our home? In Matthew 8 and 20, Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You know, we're spoiled about our homes. You know, we're having to rough it. We got a hot water heater that don't work. We're roughing it. And if the electricity goes off, it's 911. I mean, nothing works. I mean, we're out of business. I mean, the lights don't come on there. Air conditioner don't work. The well don't work. I mean, we're in trouble. We're making calls at the night. The electric company needs to know we're out of electricity. So we're spoiled here. What about our job? In 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. This might be a good law for the United States. We could solve some problems in the United States. And I presume all of you have had maybe a job that you didn't like. It wasn't too long ago, Zane comes to me and he said, hey, I want to work for you this summer. And I had to tell him a true story. There's a young man that grew up in Briscoe. He was in Jane Ann's grade. And he went to work for the electric company. And as he worked with the electric company reading meters, he would jump the fences, go read a meter and call it out to my uncle that wrote it down. Then he'd go to the next yard, read a meter, and then go to the next yard. And when he'd get through, they'd go help other people. He'd get through in a hurry. Well, he got promoted. And when he retired, he was president of Excel. So when we work, do it with all your might. If you're doing a ditch, best ditch that anybody has ever dug. Be glad that we have a job. What about our health? 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. As I look out in the audience today, a lot of you have had some health issues. Those of you that have not, you will have. That's just the way it is. But here it was, just as we read that Paul had this thorn in the flesh, we read a little later that he prayed three times, Lord, remove this from me. And I don't have this on our PowerPoint, so I'll read the rest of it, starting in about verse 8. And this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might be depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I'll have to admit, I don't think I ever give the Lord thanks for having back trouble. But when we have problems, we can either get weak from it or we can get strong from it. And that's what God tells us, that through our tribulations, through our trials, we become stronger. God has provided everything that we need to be successful here on this life. He's provided us with a way of salvation that probably all of us know. We're told to believe in Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. This is something that has made it so simple for us to have salvation. We're told in Luke 13 and 3, I tell you, nay, except if you repent, you shall all likewise perish. This is a simple plan that He's lined out for us. Anyone can do it. Matthew 10 and 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. This is just a simple plan that He's told us to do. And that's the formula that we have to. In Mark 16 and 16, he that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. I don't know how much plainer it can be, and this is all He's asked us to do, and then to go out and do His work. That's the plan He set forth. And it's not hard. I mean, you don't have to be able to recite the Bible or do anything like that. It's just a simple plan that He's given us. He's told us to sing and pray and teach. In Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world. He tells us here to go out and tell others about Jesus, and He's be with us. You know, when I sing, I hope I don't throw others off. And when I pray, I listen to other people pray, and I say, boy, I wish I could do that good. And when I teach, I say, well, that's kind of lacking. Several years ago, I had an aunt die, and they called and says, we want you to preach the funeral. I said, well, let's talk about it tomorrow. And I thought about it, and I said, no, I couldn't do that. I can't get up and do that. So we go to Canada to meet with the family, and they already put my name in the paper that I was doing it. I said, okay. So I get with my dad-in-law, and he helps me with a funeral sermon, and I get through it. But it wasn't easy. You know, it just wasn't easy. So anytime that we have an issue, whatever it is, whether it's singing, praying, or whatever it is, if God is with us, who can be against us? We can do it. We can get through it. Everybody has different degrees of talent. Some may sing a song better than the others. Some may lead a prayer better than others. Some may be able to get up and teach better than others. But we have to make that effort. God does not create a flop. If someone flops, they've done it by themselves. God will help them. All right, now here's, as we're kind of wrapping things up, I had to have Zane help me with this. We have a global positioning system. I've had a GPS forever, but I didn't know that's what it was. It's a global positioning system. It's what we have in our cars and whatever. Becky will be the first to tell you, I don't trust a GPS. Because I'm a little bit smarter than it is. But if I get in a town that I've never been in, I will trust it. But we have a global positioning system. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Very simple verse that we most of the time, myself, don't even think about it. Psalms 118 and 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And then Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, I'll take off and I'm going to follow that blue line on the GPS. And then every once in a while that car goes to fishtailing and I'm not on the blue line. And it'll say, please make a legal U-turn. I got off the course. You know, and I'm thinking that God looks down at me and says, please make a legal U-turn. Get back on course. Because I'm not on the system anymore. We have to say, let God handle it. God can handle it. When we try to do it, we're in trouble. In 1 John 16 and 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. As we read about Jesus and all the things he went through, we're more than likely not going to have to go through as much as he did. He overcame all of that. Let God handle it. He will do it. If he can feed millions in a desert, he can handle our problems. He can do it. Just let him do it. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I'm still having a problem counting it joy when I fall into temptations. And so I've got to work on that. But we need to think about that. When we have a problem, we can come out of it stronger as a Christian. Whenever we have an issue with whatever it is, whether it's health, home, job, whatever, we can come out of it stronger. Say, God, help me with this. In James 1, starting verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. How many times do we ask when we're having a problem? God, help me. Like Peter said, help me, Lord. I'm sinking. Help me. That's what we need to do. He'll get us through that problem. In Philippians 4 and 13, maybe my favorite verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Last time I say, I can't do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. He can do it. If he can feed that many people in a desert, if he can get them wood, if he can get them water, he can get them food. The problem we have is minute. If we run from him, he's not happy with it. Stay away from the water. We can do it.